All right, Mike. So, I noticed the guitar you're playing too is it's a little different. I've only met two people with that. It's a 9-string.
It's a 9-string Alvarez Yari. Yes.
Yeah. So, you and then I used to have a friend in Tennessee that had the Alvarez 9-string. So tell us about your trigger, like John Wayne's horse, right? Was trigger?
Yeah, this is the only blonde my wife lets me take anywhere I want.
She's a beautiful blonde.
Yeah, this it is. No, I've had this guitar has been with me since 1988, and it's gone with me everywhere. I mean, it's like, I had a guy actually offer me a lot of money for it, and I was like. I said no, you know. This continues with my family. When I die, it's going to continue with the family, mm-hmm. because, you know, when I in July of last year I had a massive heart attack, and I had what they call the widowmaker heart attack, but they didn't work with me. The Lotier Fire Department would not let me go. Yeah. Regan Schwartz would not let me die. And then God and Lucifer were sitting there talking, and I was dead for basically 20 minutes, and God says to Lucifer, "You want this guy?" Lucifer says, "Heck, hell no. This guy will change everything down here. You take him." And God says, "Well, I don't need him yet, so we'll just let him go back and spread hate and discontent among the people." And so... But they would not let me die. And so I was in the hospital at Christus St. Vincent in Santa Fe for 20 days.
Yeah.
On the 10th day, my biggest worry, can I still play guitar? That's the only thing I was worried about.
Mm-hmm.
And so my wife, my daughter, and my son were debating. My wife and my daughter going, "We better not. What if he can't?" My son says, "No. This is part of his life. Can't stop it now." So I went over there and put it on, and I started playing the House of the Rising Sun, and I teared up. Oh, it was like, thank you, God, you know, you didn't take that away from me, because I don't know what I would have done. I think I would have gone into deep depression without my guitar.
Oh, man.
You know, so this little baby is, you know, has been with me forever. When I play it, when I do the solo gigs, there's other guitarists going, "What the hell is that? Wow!" You know, it's like, can I? Yeah, I can play it. You know, I've never been. I let people, you know, just treat it with love, and they'll play. Oh, they love the guitar. And it's like, and they quit making this guitar 20 years ago.
Right. Yeah, it's a rare one.
So I have one of the rare guitars. So anyway, so this is it, and then this is one of the guitars that I used, you know, I have a CD that we recorded in 2010, and my song Niña Mia won the Hispanic Traditional Song of the Year.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and it was the New Mexico Music Awards, not the Chicano Music Awards, but the New Mexico Music Awards. And the song was written by a friend of mine in Kino Bay 40 years before when his daughter was born.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, the words are still timeless, you know, the music is timeless, you know. And you can find my CD, My Ego Trip. Why did you call it My Ego Trip? I said, it's real simple, because everybody that came and gave their time to me. Mm-hmm. I have, you know, Kay Bull and Lorenzo Martinez, Tim Long, several others that came, and they, Fritz Davis, they recorded for free. They did not charge me anything to record this CD. That's awesome. I had to call it something, you know, that to me reflected what they gave, and that was my ego trip, because they fed my ego big time by giving to me, you know.
That's awesome. And so, they could find your music on
Spotify.
On Spotify,
yeah, Michael G. Ryle Sr., and on iTunes.
Nice.
Yeah, so now you asked for my most famous song.
Well, the before you play that one, because you're talking about the Niña Mia.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, can you play that one too? Or?
Ooh, I don't know if I have the words anymore. Let me see. No, let's see. Yeah. A little bit of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. llegaste a nuestra vida como un regalo de Dios. Niña, niña mía. I'm sorry, I can't remember the words anymore. I haven't done it in a long time, but that's what it's... It goes like that a little bit.
Yeah.
But nice. It's a beautiful song. It's, mm-hmm. And when we were recording it, should we write a coda for it? I said, no, we can't. You know, this is the song. And so what we did was change chords, you know, progressions. And it came out really sweet. And
nice.
So if you listen to it, you'll like that song.
Yeah.
In fact, a young lady did a show in KRZA Radio. Mm-hmm. And she wanted my music, and that's what she used.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I figured she would just use the... I said, we can just do the instrument. She said, no, I like the words. So
that's perfect.
That came out. Llegaste a nuestra vida como un regalo de Dios. Oh, I wish I could remember the words, but...
No, man. Well, yeah. You've got musicians. It's amazing, you know, how much is going on at one time, you know. I was talking to my niece one time about it, like, you know, musicians are, they're playing their instrument, they're, you know, there's chord progressions going on in their head in the background, there's lyrics going on in their head, there's
melody,
whatever they might be looking at in the rooms, you know, so there's like all this going on. And
well, when I used to work in Mexico, because we used to have, when we go down to Kino Bay, Janet and I, we would play at a restaurant there, and the biggest comment that they... all the people there had, the Mexicanos, was they had a hard time understanding how we could sing in Spanish and English so easy.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't do it. You know, they couldn't do the bilingual. And us, it was simple because we've been doing it all our lives. Right. You know? Yeah, people say, well, I was talking to some people from Mexico just yesterday. You speak Spanish? I go, sí, yeah. Well, where did you learn? I said, that was actually my first language. What?
Yeah.
I said, but I didn't speak Mexican. I said, I'm speaking Spanish. So I had to explain the difference, mm-hmm. the old Spanish to the Mexican. And well, you speak Mexican good. I said, yeah, because I've been going to Mexico for many years, you know. But
yeah.
But they think as you're up here, you don't understand, you can't speak Spanish, you know.
Yeah.
And then my last name, Rael, to them, is like, it's a, they didn't think it was as, that associated with Latino, you know, with the Hispanic names, yeah. You know, but Rael is a Spanish name, you know.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I was working in Red River at K Bolis Coffee Shop, and this girl came in. She was Jewish. She was from Israel. And I go, yeah, you know, Israel, that's named after me, Israel's Place. Oh, she did not like that at all. I just, my dear, don't get mad. I'm just joking. But you got to poke fun at things, you know.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
If you can't laugh at yourself, you might as well kiss your ass goodbye.
Yeah. One of my glitz here.
All right.
Cuckoo, or is that, that's one we're
going to hear. Cuckoo, paloma. Dice que por las noches nomás se le iba el puro tomar. Dicen que no comía, nomás se le iba el puro tomar. Juran que el mismo cielo se estremecía al oír su llanto. Cómo sufrió por ella, que hasta en su muerte la fue llamando. Ay, 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 cantaba. Ay, 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 ay. Hoy de mañana le va a cantar a tu casita sola con sus puertitas de par en par. Juran que esa paloma no es otra cosa más que su alma que todavía la espera a que regrese la desdichada. Cucurrucucú, paloma. Cucurrucucú, no llores. Las piedras jamás, paloma, que van a saber de amores. Cucurrucucú, 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 paloma, ya no le llore.
Yes, sir.
You know, I did that song in Vicksburg, Mississippi, in a church that was an Episcopalian church. A friend of mine was the priest there. When she heard I was going up there, she had a vision that I was singing in her church. And this church was built in 1863 by the Confederate and Northern soldiers. Because during the week, they wouldn't fight. They would work together to clean the town, help the town. And so we were sitting there, how am I going to do this song? A cappella, guitar. There was a piano player from New Orleans that was like, whoa. Mm-hmm. But it turned out I had to do it a cappella because that's the sound in there was so incredible. So she did a sermon on it. She says, what does it mean? What is it? So I explained to her what the song was. Did an incredible sermon. As I'm going up to the altar, I looked at Jesus' picture and I go, bro, this is yours now, not mine. Yeah. And I blew him away.
Nice.
That song has a lot of history. Yeah. With me. Yeah. Song written by Tomas Mendez in 1954.
Yeah.
And I think I learned it like a month after he wrote it.
Translate a little bit of it.
Dicen que por las noches nomás se le iba en puro llorar. People say that every night he passed the night crying. Dicen que no comía, that he wouldn't eat. He would just cry. He would just drink. And that even the heavens would cry with him. He suffered for her, that even in his death he called her name. Cucurrucucú is the cry of the dove. Que una paloma triste muy de mañana le va a cantar a su casita solas con sus partizas de par en par. They say that a dove will go every morning and sing at his house at the little doors on top that are side by side, the bedroom. Juran que esa paloma no es otra cosa más que su alma que todavía la espera a que regrese la desdichada. They swear that that dove is really nothing but his soul, his heart, his being waiting for her to come back. Cucurrucucú paloma, cucurrucucú no llores, don't cry. Las piedras jamás paloma que van a saber de amores. Why cry? Who knows what about love but you? And that's it. Basically, that's what it's all about. It's about love, unrequited love. You know, it's like, guy fell in love with his woman and she spurned him. And I actually know a guy like that, that died, you know, killed himself drinking. Mm-hmm. And my second wife's half-brother, 6'4", 6'5", Navy SEAL, won the Silver Star. When his wife left him, he went to heck. When he died, he weighed 850 pounds. That's how powerful love is.
Yeah.
And this is that song. This is about that song, about love. And when you don't have it, when you fall in love and they spurn you, it's deadly. It can be deadly. Well, we were talking about this lady just passed away now here in Cuesta, 103 years old. Her and the gentleman were going to get married when they were young. The parents wouldn't let him. He left Cuesta, never came back. He never got married. She never got married. She died single. 103 years old.
Wow.
That's love.
That's a great movie right there.
Yeah. And I asked my mom, but my mom's going to be 94 on Friday. I says, well, why didn't they let him get married? Tontos. But that's what it was in those days. You know, we're talking about the entrega and how important, you know. And if your parents didn't allow you to get married, you know, you had to go ask for marriage. And if they said no, unless you ran away and never planned never coming back, you just didn't do that. Because that was, you know, my mom talks about her older sister. When she was born, the family patriarch, Tio Narciso, said, whatever this child is, when it's born, it's mine. Mine and my wife's. Grandma had gave birth. They took the child. They raised it. That girl. Mm-hmm. That's how it was. You know, it's like...
Yeah.
And you didn't go against the matriarch or the patriarch of the family. You didn't. That's what life was. You know, I think about all this life back then, this people. They were true hardy pioneers, really strong people to live what they live. You know, they brought the people from northern Spain, the Basques, to do sheep herding up here. And they were hardy people. I was like, they had to be. Because they had to, the southern Utes were here. They would battle the southern Utes. The Kiowa were here. You know, and then the Apache, they used to be what they call the Rocky Mountain Apache. They have there in Pueblito, they found some of their old encampment from there. The Kiowas used to do there. This, you know, it was, and when the Spaniards moved in here, the indigenous, what, you know, now we call indigenous, back then the Indians hated it because this was this great hunting area, and they were losing it. You know, they were battling. You know, It was just, it's amazing. I think it's my third great grandfather. He bought a Navajo woman from the Comanche, and that was our grandma, one of our grandmothers.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like, it's a different world.
Yeah. Man. That's another story there.
You have the history of this area is amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing, you know, that, and there's people that have the memory, you know, everybody kind of used to get mad at little Joe Cisneros, you know, Milagro Beanfield Joe. But he had a great memory. He could remember. My mom remembers stuff from yesteryear, but in sippets. A little bit here, a little bit there, but she remembers. And Tessie had a great, you know, her book came out, you know, it's a great book about Cuesta. My tío Moises wrote one about his life, and his, Aaron Rael wrote one, you know, about his life. And so there is the history of Cuesta, Cerro Costilla Amalia, Red River is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have an amazing history here. And if you just got to look for it.
Yeah.
And one thing that I will, you know, you're trying to do the present and past, you should talk to, I don't know who has it now, but Esther used to have the books of the judges, because JP was one of the judges. And I read those books, and they are incredibly interesting.
Yeah.
You should try and find, I don't know who would have them though. Yeah. Probably maybe Max Jr.
Yeah,
might have them, because there's some great stories about the whole area, what the judges had to go through. That's something you guys need to look at.
Yeah. Oh, man. Mike, well, I'm so happy that you're contributing your memories and your your journey that you've had in this area, you know, and the music, the stories behind the music, and just being a great citizen of this area, you know.
Well, like I said, I love Cuesta. I love my whole area up here. There's nothing like it anywhere.
Yeah,
I would not, if I had millions of dollars, this, you know, I would buy everything that everybody's trying to sell just to preserve it.
Yeah. All right. Well,
thank you for allowing me this privilege of doing this show with you.
Yeah.
Gracias, brother.
Absolutely. God bless you, my friend.
Same to you. God bless you, mijo.